So I'll read the text that I would like to talk on today about miracles. You know, miracles is normal in God's economy. Amen? We should not be scared or surprised of miracles. It's how God works. Because if there's no miracle, then it's probably the human effort that we have. I need a miracle. And North America needs miracle. All the economists could not solve the problem. Even our friend Obama cannot solve the problem. Or Uncle Stephen Harper. They're shut down in America. 800,000 people, no work. But we say, oh, we're Canadians, we're okay. But they said we are affected with inflation this year. The Americans were hit like 8 years ago. But we are hit by inflation this year. But I tell you, 2013, 13 is not a bad number. 13 is a one step ahead with God. God will bless us in 2013. There are only 3 months ahead. But God will bless us. There will be a miracle that will happen. John chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. And after this, there's a borrowed video that I had recorded about the 5 loaves of barley and 2 fishes. So I'll be reading in my non-inspired version. No, it's an inspired version, NIV. Or sometimes I call this as the New Indian Version. My kids call me a wannabe Indian. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him. And because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick, Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. And now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? And he said, verse 6, this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. Verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many? And Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. And verse 11, the last verse. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish as much as they wanted. I entitled this sharing today as the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Shall we watch this 4-minute video, please?
Was on his way to school. He heard a crowd of people laughing, and he went to take a look. Thousands were listening to the stories of one man. He spoke with such wisdom, even the kids could understand. The hours passed so quickly. Thank you.
Thank you that there's no gift that's too small for you. We might be small or few, but with you, we are the majority. Anything small is not really small if God is in it. We pray for your blessing upon Gibson's, upon this church, Sunshine Coast and British Columbia. We pray for revival. We pray for your miracle of healing and prosperity in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Nothing is too small with God. Miracles. This is the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels. So it occupies a very significant part of the four Gospels. Because of all the miracles, this is the only miracle that is in the four Gospels. It has an outstanding significance. Miracles are signs of the creative power and authority of God. The time had come to the light shining that Zion's hill and kings to the brightness of that uprising. John 6:33 said, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. He came not merely for an earthly nation, but for a people who should be gathered from all peoples, nations, and languages, from all the ends of the earth and to the utmost limits of time." I praise God for Canada and for the beauty of Canada and the diverse culture of Canada. There's no better place than Canada. I think there's one better place, which is heaven. So I told my family, my wife said, we don't move away from Canada. The next place we should move is heaven. And I've been traveling far and wide. The only place I have not been in Canada is Nunavut and Iqaluit and Northwest Territory. And especially the natives, I'm amazed about their ears and eyes to the Spirit. They said they heard the trumpet call, and it reverberated up to Arizona, up to the coast in Mexico. And they said, there's the trumpet call. And if you study the Bible and Revelation, the trumpet calls call for the preparation because God is coming soon. Amen. Do we believe in that? My predecessors, my wife's family, who had been the first converts of the Assemblies of God in the Philippines, in the early 40s were preaching about the soon coming king and the rapture. But now it's imminent, it's near, and I believe the Antichrist is already here too. So we have to prepare. It's just completing the job. Amen? So we must be ready. I'm claiming for a miracle from God, because God is a God of miracles. What was the setting in this story? This is a real story. I'm amazed how Jesus performed his miracles and how the apostles have this narrative story written in our Bible today. What happened then and how it happened? The action begins with the passage of the Lord across the Sea of Galilee to the wilderness, and multitudes followed Jesus in the religious ferment by his miracles in that region near Capernaum. And they were traveling because they were going to a feast, Passover feast, to the big city of Jerusalem. And seeing the great congregation gathered, the Lord went up into a mountain and there sat with his disciples. And to his humble enthronement on the hill came the multitude, symbolic of the great multitude which no man can number, of all nations, kindreds, peoples, and tongues. That's in Revelation 7:9. Which should come to him in the course of time to receive at his hands through the ministry of the apostles and through all those saints who are faithful to the apostolic doctrine, the bread of life, the food of the soul, the unreachable riches of Christ in his atoning work and glorious impartation of himself as the source and the head of a new creation. The condition, people were hungry, traveling from far afar for the feast of the Passover. The days wears on, and the disciples still ignorant of the significance of what was taking place. We must be attuned in our spirit, in sync with the Spirit of God, because God will perform his miracle anytime. We must be ready, but the disciples were not ready. They don't understand what's going on, and they're like me. They count the cost, they complain, they mumble and they grumble. And so they are ignorant of what was taking place. Became anxious lest the vast throng far from material aid should come to mischief. I have been in many executive meetings. In our head office, we're just used to work, and in a district office, I've been there for almost 14 years now. And we always talk about money. Nothing wrong with money. Faith without works is dead. That's why my wife's name is Faith. Faith has to work. Anyways, I live with faith and I'm still learning how to live by faith. That is where we need God to show up. The problem in North America, as I see it, is we cannot enjoy the presence of God because there's too much counting of the resources, and we always like to measure it up. We have a preacher before in our pastor's camp in Sorrento, and he said he's from UK, and we love people from England. And he said, Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada does not need God because you figured out everything. God cannot move because we know everything. What the Americans failed, we corrected it. It's like Toyota and Honda. I did a research and they said when they plant or they start establish as a city in Canada, it has been planned 40 years earlier. That's why we are here in Canada now, because it's a business deal. The natives, the French, and the English, and all the guys from Europe, and then now all the Asians are coming. You see, globalization, it's Asianization. If you go to Richmond, you guys are the minority. And you go there and people say, good morning. What's good morning? You laugh at them, they're driving Lexus and Audi. You go to India, little Indian, sorry where I live, it's all Punjabi. It's a very different world. And I went to Coquitlam, we have the only French church. I was amazed because I could not see a Caucasian guy. They're all Chinese. I said, is this the French church? Our only French church? Yes. We were born in France and we're Chinese. We speak better French than French Canadian. I said, I don't understand that. Said, French Canadian, weird. We speak real French from France. Mm-hmm. Merci. Philip, the Bethsaida Jew with a Gentile name, was asked by Jesus, Philip is like me. He has a pathetic reply. See, 200 penny worth of bread, 200 denarii, that's equivalent almost to a year's salary. Said, Lord, we need 1 year's salary to feed these people. And there's no superstore. There's no Costco here. It's along the highway. Thank God your highway here have lots of strip malls. Wow, that's nice. And the houses are on top of the hill. That's new for me. Because Filipinos, we love to live in the city. We are inner city people. We don't live in the mountains. Only poor people in Philippines live in the mountains. But here is rich people. Very different. So Philip was counting the cost. Lord, we cannot make it. We cannot feed these people. Philip was not ready, but Andrew, the younger brother of Simon Peter, the only other apostle with a Gentile name, comes well into the picture. He draws attention to the lad, to the boy, with a basket of food. 5 small barley loaves and 2 fishes. This is a cultural thing. Maybe they saw the eyes of the fish. Don't be scared of the eyes of the fish. It's a cultural thing. If Jesus will bring fish today, that's scary. Now, if you deal with ethnic people, we love fish. We even eat the eyes of the fish. Some of you don't like it. If you want to minister to other people, don't criticize their food. Amen? The things I learned in missionary work is love their food and love their language. So I tried to learn different languages. Because when you speak their language, even the greetings, ni hao ma, konnichiwa, their eyes will glow. Oh, this guy loves them. Amen? What's difficult with that? Eh? It's easy to say, eh? Eh! Konnichiwa. Shukriya. Babaji. Hanji. People will lit up. Como sa va? Sa va bien? Anyang sayo? So Andrew took this lad to Jesus. The prominence given to Andrew and Philip in this miracle indicates the predominant Gentile or world interest in the work of Christ. If Christ came into the world only for the Jews, we could not have been saved. So the Gentiles, for me, the word Gentile means the world. And think of that. In Canada, the world is in Canada. There are 200 countries in Canada now. We have been advertised in all the embassies in all the world that Canada is the best place on this planet. And even not Canada, just BC, and the best water in the world is in Gibson's. So naturally, people will come to Gibson's, to Canada, to British Columbia. Why? Because it's being advertised. And now the church, are we ready to accept those people? Because the government said we should be multicultural. But is the church multicultural? That's a big question. So the church is lagging behind. But the prophetic image of the worship in front of the throne of Christ is all kindreds, all tribes, all nations. So for me, in my theology, the real worship happens when all nations will be in that worship. Amen? We should prepare for that. Otherwise, we're not prepared to go to heaven. And I heard this from Pastor Jazz. My church is a house of prayer of all nations. Right, Pastor Jazz? When we were having meetings and joint meetings, international meetings in Delta Pentecostal Church many, many years ago. The lad, a boy, an innocent bystander, who is willing to give up his little meager resource. No gift is too small. A small thing becomes big when God is in it. The minority becomes the majority if God is in it. If God is for us, who could be against us? Pentecostals could be the minority. Some sectors of Canada or North America don't consider us mainline Christianity. We're still like weird people. We're too emotional, you know. Before they said, classical Pentecostal, we swing the chandeliers. In Philippines, we don't have chandeliers. We just climb the walls and mumble words. We came from the boonies, from the farmers, poor people, The Azusa Street Revival was started by a black man, William Seymour, because some guys could not dance and could not clap like William Seymour. It started with the slaves. Can you believe in that? I say, oh, we came from the Wales Revival. Good for you. But I came from the Assemblies of God. So we came from the black preacher, William Seymour, out from the slaves. Praise God. And this is what my dad asked me before. This is the first Bible study I did to my late dad before he got saved. My dad said, okay, I believe he was a devout Catholic. He said, I believe in miracles. But why there were 12 baskets? I said, Dad, I never studied that in Bible school. Why there were 12 baskets? And there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. So my dad was saying, oh, so the 12 disciples were carrying baskets all the way? I said, I don't know. There were no backpacks before. The Savior places the broken bag in the hand of its disciple. The 12 then proceed to the company sitting on the grass and take from their hand a portion which they present to the first, then the second, and the next, and the next. As much remains in their hands after distributing as was there at the first. Lots of leftovers. Everyone was satisfied. You know, when God provides, it's not just enough. It's more than enough. Praise down, shaken together. And the phrase that says, I did a word study about my grace is sufficient. That grace of God that is sufficient is not only for today, but for tomorrow, for the next trial. And if you want promotion from God, if you want to mature with God in your spiritual journey, you must welcome trials and persecution. Because without trials and persecution, you will never grow. You'll still be a baby. Hello, hi. Tap on the shoulder by the pastor. We should be the one visiting the sick. We should be the one evangelizing. We should be the one doing the stuff. Don't let it be done by your pastor alone, because he has only one body. The riches are in Christ, sufficient for the whole world. The more we partake of Christ, the more of Christ remains in us. Praise the Lord. The fullness of Christ, the more of Christ remains, sufficient for the world. The world was evangelized in one generation without finance or committees. But today we have lots of committees. I was a member of a board of a church in Vancouver, and it took us 5 hours just to debate and argue on what kind of toilet paper we will buy. And then the next board meeting, we were discussing about the brand of ball pens that we will buy. What is that for the kingdom of God? We should be talking about evangelizing. We should be talking about the sick. We should be talking about the ills of society. So I even asked Minister Kenny, the Minister of Multiculturalism, I said, there are evils and cancer in the society in Canada. How can the government, the conservative, help us? And Minister Kenny said, to my surprise, he said, Pastor, you have the answer because you have Jesus. We should work with the church. I said, isn't that there is the separation of church and state? He said, no, that's an American dream. We are Canadians and we are British. The head of England and the church is still the queen. Wow, I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that even in 1994 when we took our oath as Canadian citizens, we cried with my wife because we have to take allegiance, a pledge allegiance to the Queen Elizabeth II and her ears. We came as free people, now become a slave to the Queen. You guys never pledge allegiance because you're naturally born here in Canada. But for us, naturalized citizens, we took allegiance, pledged allegiance to the Queen. So God and then the Queen. Could be vice versa too. I don't know. So we're under a woman. I'm not saying that it is possible to carry on the work of the Lord and the churches and charitable societies without monetary means. But we should not rely on the power of the Canadian dollar, the loonie. We should rely on the power of God, the Holy Spirit. We are Pentecostals, right? We are people of power. We are spirit-filled people. We believe in the full gospel of the Bible. We believe in the authority of the scriptures and the word of God. We are Bible-believing people, and we live from miracle to miracle because we are Pentecostal, born-again believers, spirit-filled. We have the power of God in us, not the power of the loony, because the loony could lose its power. But God's power will never be lost. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are you excited? I am standing on the promises of God. I rely on the power of God, not the loony. Praise the Lord. Trust me. Trust Filipinos, because we have been into lots of trouble. We know how what is poverty. There is not such poverty in Canada. They said $2,000 per month is the poverty line in Canada. Well, $2,000 is very rich in Philippines, right? You don't know poverty. We know poverty. But thank God we're still alive and kicking and still smiling. Like more big smile than Canadians themselves. Because Canadians don't see themselves as the richest people in this planet and the best country in the world. Because Jesus approved the two mites of the widow and set a value thereon above all that the rich cast in showed, thereby the heavy budgets are not the key to anything, but the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit works where there are willing hearts and dedicated lives and humble worship. In the four churches that we planted in Greater Vancouver, the number one in our vision statement is, we are worshipers, we worship God. And when you worship God, healing and prosperity comes right in your heart, because you have to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul, and with all your strength. How can you not worship God? If you have breath, praise the Lord. But when we praise the Lord. Hi. And we don't want to be emotional. But I tell you, Jesus was emotional. He cried when he saw Jerusalem. He was not hanging on the cross on a secret place. He was hanging there in front of thousands of people. He was very public in his emotions because he loved us so much that he's willing to give up everything for us. How can we not give everything to God, even on 2 hours prime time Sunday morning? Then we are too in a hurry to go to the parking lot. We have appointments in Swishale and White Spot, and we go to the ferry. What is that? Give priority to God, because he has the solution we don't have. I only hear 3 amens. Maybe you have all the answers. I will come to you and ask you. Because even the Prime Minister of Canada, the economist, cannot solve the problem of North America. Only God can solve the problem of North America. Lest even the problems of our church is too complicated. I told my wife, I've studied so much, 20 years in Bible school. I could not solve any problem. Lest Dad can solve many problems. That's why we're hiring him full-time, Dr. Jim Caruso. I talk to him almost every week. Jim, JC, you're just like Jesus Christ, JC. Say, small JC. You can solve the problem. You're a Canadian. Me, this Filipino, cannot solve the problem. Only God can solve the problem. And I rely on the power of God, because he is the omniscient and omnipotent, powerful, all-knowing God. He's genius. I don't have the answer. My kids, when they become teenagers, they say, Dad, I'm 18 years old now. I have a car. I have a cell phone. I am an adult now. I know everything. Wow. I said, I'm almost 60 years old, studied in Bible college, 7 years, and have my doctoral and masteral degree. I don't know nothing. After 6 months, they lost track of their finances. They could not pay their cell phone. They said, Dad, can you help me? I said, I thought you know everything. You know, young people like me, when I was young, I know everything. I'm invincible. I drive like 200 kilometers per hour, as if I'm a machine. But now that I'm getting old, I'm very slow now. Because every minute counts, every moment counts with Jesus. Praise the Lord. We have heard of the good men giving away fortunes for evangelistic purposes and missionary causes. And their contempt for money is needed to be applauded. What is not to be applauded is the publicity which is given to the grand gesture because of the size of the bag involved. When in heaven another standard of values is observed, giving that little out of poverty, which is valued supremely in heaven, where God is in control of all resources of the universe, waits not to ransack creation for material help in making sacrifice of Christ effectual in salvation, but for willing hearts to worship and praise the unspeakable grace which has granted to a world beggared by sin and curse and priceless merits of Christ. Are you willing to surrender all for Jesus? Are we ready to trust in Jesus of all of our cares and burdens and loads? He loves us so much. He died for us, the bread of life. If you come to Jesus, no more hunger and thirst. He is more than enough, the all-sufficient one. Praise the Lord. When our dreams are shattered and our hearts are broken, we may feel that all has been lost and nothing has been gained. It takes the touch of God to open our eyes to the greater glory of God's plan. I believe with 100% in my heart that God has a perfect plan for your life and for Canada to lead the way. We are a nation, a healing nation, because of our flag, which is the hand, the maple leaf. The only country with a leaf at its symbol, which means healing. Canada can bring healing to the whole world because we are peace-loving people, and we can evangelize the world through our meager resources, because God will multiply our resources, and Gibsons will lead the way in the Sunshine Cause, because Gibsons is called by God. You are called by God for a greater purpose, not for your purposes, but for God's greater glory and honor and for His kingdom. Amen? Praise the Lord. Give a hand to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. It takes the touch of God. And I believe that God will touch your heart today. And I will challenge you. The days are over to play around, play church and play around God. This is a time when we should be serious with God and make it count our life, because time is not in our, there is no luxury of time. Christ is coming soon. We need a special touch of God today. We have to open our eyes to the glory of God's plan. Our surrender to God precedes His significant work in our life. Past is history. Tomorrow is future. That's why today is called a present. Because you're a present. You're a gift. You're a gift to the body of Christ. Provision was done through the small boy. John 6:35 says, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall not or never thirst. If you're thirsty today, you have the best water in the world here in Gibsons. Of course, you have to pay for it too. But you will never be hungry. You will never be thirsty if you have the bread of life, and that's Jesus. Failure needs consent, but success is a choice based on God's plan and God's word. Before I leave this pulpit, can I challenge you today? If you hunger and thirst for God, if you want a miracle to happen in your life, whether you are a deacon, you have been here since 1946, I believe this church was founded in 1946. I was not born yet at that time, but my in-laws were already converts. The Assemblies of God. It's not about old age. I'm getting old too. I'll be enjoying my pension plan soon. But I need the touch of God. I need a miracle to happen in my life, in my children's lives, in my in-laws' lives, and in my grandkids who were born in Canada. And I want my grandkids to plant churches in Canada too. We love Canada that we want to die here in Canada. We forsook all the sufficiency, all or the luxury and the comfort that we have back home. You know, if I go to Philippines, 30 minutes of text messaging, I have 100 people around me. But here, it will take probably 10 years to gather 100 people. It's very hard. Ministry is hard. The big mission field is here. There are only two continents in the world not revived by the gospel: North America and Middle East. So you'll not be surprised why we are here. I told the embassy official in Manila when he interviewed me in 1991, When he asked me, why are you going to Canada? I said, I want to go to Canada to evangelize Canada. And he was not very happy with me. And I found out only 2% Christians in Canada. In Philippines, if you go there, throw a stone in the street, chances are you will hit a pastor. Pub houses, community centers, even the malls are all being used in church services. Not in Canada. When we build the new Broadway Pentecostal Church, the new building across the street in Broadway, East Broadway and Slocan, the city government of Vancouver said this will be the last church building to be built in Vancouver. The only problem is parking.
Wow.
But they built Rogers Arena, BC Place, and 20 cinemas downtown in Falls Creek. No problem with parking, especially if it's a casino. This is not nice. Think of it. Scary stuff. Every Sunday, it's very slow traffic in Vancouver because people are enjoying recreation. You go back to the ethnic world, Sunday is a very busy day because everybody goes to church, but not in Canada. I'm crying for Canada. Well, our graduates, most of our graduates go to Europe and Canada and China, especially Bible school graduates. Thank God for Pastor Jess that's still here. He could be in Africa or in India with big salary, but he stays in Gibson's. We stay in Canada because who will take charge of Canada? So help us here, Canadians. Eh? Can you come as the worship team will sing some songs? I want to lay hands on you. If you trust this brown short guy, we came from the Far East to tell you, Canada, please wake up. You're chosen by God for a greater purpose. Don't lose that.
That's right.
Just come here. I would like to lay hands on you, anoint you with Pastor Jess. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you, Pastor Edgar.